Welcome back. My name is Dimitri Sebastian.
And I'm Wes Kendall.
And we are back in session. Okay. I've been awake since 4 a.m. It's been a long, drill weekend. It is 6 p.m. now. I got 4 hours of sleep last night. How are you holding up?
I'm in a similar boat. I do have to admit I got a little bit more sleep than you, about an hour.
No need to brag.
So, you know, still 2 days in a row of like, you know, 5 or less hours of sleep is always a struggle.
Oh, yeah. And when we're having a super good time, basically just getting administrative stuff done.
Right.
Also, I had to come in early for some reason. They just told us to. That was great. So it's like I almost got denied extra sleep.
You're like, I could have had that. That's sleep that you should have had.
I'm spiteful.
Right.
I'm a little bit upset.
Well, it was still, you know, another drill weekend.
You had a PT test.
I had a PT test. I did not get 82 sit-ups for the 82nd Airborne, which I am, you know, shamefully sad about.
You looked very upset.
I was a little upset.
I wasn't looking for you, and I saw you out there, and you just looked very concerned.
I mean, I always get that. That was, like, the first time I missed that in, like, I want to say, like, since basic training.
Even going hardcore at the gym, so I'm wondering, maybe you're losing your endurance a little bit, getting a little heavy.
I think so. I felt heavy. You know, I felt like my upper body is holding a little bit more weight than like my midsection usually does, so maybe that center of gravity was off.
Yeah, actually, that totally makes sense. You've got more upper body to push up and down. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you're talking about that swing of it, it's we found what it is. You are just too fucking huge.
I'm getting too top heavy. That's
you're
what
a goddamn monster.
The run went well, though. I stuck to my under 13-minute standard that I've been maintaining.
But was it slower than your last one?
No, it was actually 20 seconds faster.
Okay, so at least... So maybe... You know what I always forget is that squatting and lunges are so good for running, and no one does it.
Yeah, those quad activation exercises, I feel like. You know, because a lot of people, when they're running... Actually, let me ask you this. Do you feel like your cardio or your legs start to give out first in a run?
My legs every single time. My cardio is not that bad. I mean, occasionally you kind of run out of breath, but it's my calves or my thighs that start to burn a little bit. Mm-hmm. So how do you solve that? You do more with your legs. You build up more muscle fibers.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the endurance training that people do for like the army or for like recreationally is mostly like to build up their VO2 max and heart, you know, rate, maintenance, where little is focused on actually like strengthening the muscles that will carry you through the run.
Which is why sprints are really good, squatting, lunging. More explosive stuff. Because at the end of the day, in the realm of running, 2 miles is not far. It feels far for someone who doesn't run, a la me. But then you talk to people like Tibbs, and it's just like 2 miles isn't even like a warm-up for him.
It's like, oh, typical Saturday, ran 16 to 18 miles. It's like, oh.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, a sprint is like a mile. 2 miles is slightly longer than a sprint.
Right.
So it's, for those of us who don't run, obviously that's like, you're kind of like rolling your eyes, but in reality of the situation, it's not that far.
Yeah, it's true. It's like, it's still anaerobic until like 14 minutes. Well, like 12, 14 minutes.
12, 14 minutes, which is about when you're supposed to be wrapping up. I think my time, I need to be under 16:30. Yeah, so I'm coming off the injury. I've been running a little bit, but I'm going to start hitting it hard over the course of this next month. And it's literally just going to be a run every single day with some legs tossing to the week. And it's going to be a whole lot of sleep and a whole lot of protein.
Hell yeah.
And we're going to see how much my body has deteriorated since college. Cause like for me, it's like, I didn't sleep at all. And I ran like every single day, and I went to the gym every single day, but I got a little bit of protein and I felt great. I'm going to like blow out my knee like the third day. Watch.
Hope not.
I'm just going to go full old man. I'm like fully expecting it.
We still got to catch some workouts.
I mean, I can still do upper body.
That's true.
I mean, I separated my shoulder and I still made it to the gym every single day. Don't worry. If there's a will, there's a way. I saw a guy in a wheelchair at the gym the other day, and I was like, cool, I don't need to worry about it. I can do this.
That's really shredicated right there.
Shredicated. I like that. I actually haven't heard that one before.
Hell yeah.
Well, we reached out to the audience and said, hey, we want questions. And they were wonderful and actually provided them. So we are going to be having a bit of a shorter episode this time around because I'm dying and I'm super tired, so I'd like to go home and, you know, hang out with my cat and go to sleep. So we're going to answer some questions, and then we have a couple topics depending on how, you know, time runs. But start from the top. Let me pull this list up. We're going to let you...
Hold on. Let me cut in here. Oops. Make sure you like, subscribe, and share, and comment, and provide us more of these awesome questions so we can help you with better content.
And
so,
where can they find us at?
Yes, so they can find us at BSN underscore radio.
Wait, BNS.
BNS underscore radio.
Who are we?
the sleep deprivation is getting...
It's all going downhill.
Yes, on Instagram. Also, you can find me at WKendall underscore MFT.
And you can find me at Demetrius Sebastian. Just direct message us at BNS underscore radio with your question or post a comment on the post. Pretty much anything, and we will see our best way to get it on there. So the first question that we have, give me one moment to pull it up. What am I doing?
I got it right here. The first question is, why do relationships tend to kill gains, and how to stay on the grind when you're on, or how to stay on your gym grind when getting in a new relationship?
Okay. I don't think relationships have to kill gains.
But they seem to do that, like, not for everyone, but, you know, everyone has a friend who's like, he's your workout buddy, you've been crushing the gym, and then all of a sudden they meet mm-hmm. a new girl, and then they're gone. You haven't seen him in the gym for months, right?
I feel like that's a decision.
It is a decision. Why do you think it happens?
This is my hot take. I've decided because you're going to give a good, nice answer. I'm going to be...
go straight for the heart. Let's go.
I'm being a devil's advocate right now because I actually understand it, and I've been through it myself. And I sympathize. However, if you decide to stop going to the gym because you're a dating girl, you're more interested girl, and then going and doing work, that is your problem. It's not their problem. It's not your friend's problem. That is you deciding, making a conscious decision that you would prefer to go hang out with them, go eat food, go have sex, whatever, and you would prefer to do those things and work out, which is fine mm-hmm. and normal, and no one blames you. But if you lose gains or gain weight or whatever, I don't feel sorry for you because that's just what happened.
Right.
However, the second part of the question is the important part of how do you stay on the grind, consistency, and setting boundaries.
Yes.
You still have to go to work every day.
You still have to brush your teeth.
You still have to brush your teeth. They're not stopping you from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So just tell them, hey, I can't meet until 7 because I go to the gym for an hour and a half after work every day.
Right.
Or maybe you could take this as a moment to realize that your workouts, you're just pissing around and playing games and stuff while you're at the gym, when you could consolidate your workout and get it done much faster so you can go off to play reindeer games.
Efficiency.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that that's definitely a big part is, you know, it's a priority. You know, just like Arnold says, it's like, it's not that you don't have enough time in the day. It's you don't have it a high enough priority in your life.
Exactly.
And it's like, if you maintain your frame of like, I go to the gym on a regular basis, this is what I do in your relationship, then I think that that will, you know, you can keep it in your routine. It's like, you're the one who gives up that frame, not the other person doesn't take it from you. And I also think that another helpful idea is, depending on how you train, you can always, like, take them to the gym with you.
Yeah, some people can do that. I find it a little bit difficult just because I'm not a good communicator at the gym,
mm-hmm.
especially, like, when someone's trying to, like, learn something from me. So it's, like, kind of have to, like, slow down. But, you know, if they're interested in it, you should, yeah, take that time, make it enjoyable for everyone involved.
Right.
And if they get gains, then everyone gets gains, and everyone gets to reap those benefits.
Right. Even if they're just like on the treadmill while you're like hitting some bicep curls, right?
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes it feels like it's just like it's more together time, even though you're not really together.
Mm-hmm.
It's an activity, and it kind of like builds, I want to say camaraderie, but that's not something you'd say about someone you're dating.
It's like you're both doing something for yourselves together, right?
That's beautiful.
Oh, I should put that on a card.
Yeah, exactly. We build each other up with each other.
Yes. So, I mean, those are some workarounds right there. I mean, we should get into, like, training with your partner.
We should.
At some point. Do you want to do it tonight, or should we?
No, not tonight. Okay. This is, like I said, brain power is at an all-time low.
Yeah, I don't know. We can articulate it better when we have a little more sleep and caffeine in our lives.
All right, so the next question that we have is, how do you push yourself to get more reps? you're dealing with this now, so I think you might be the best one to answer it.
Yes, so there's a couple ways to do it, and there's like two methods, basically. It's like pushing yourself when you don't have a spotter, and then pushing, having, you know, making sure you have a method that your spotter will do to force you to get more reps. So obviously, you know, the forced reps with your spotter is always going to be easier. But what I would say is, like, if you are lifting by yourself and you're trying to do like a press, some type of press, first off, I don't recommend doing like a bench press to pass failure, because you'll probably die. You know, that's how you see those gym fail videos.
Live fast, die young.
Yes. It's like, you know, having intercourse without a contraceptive. If you push it too far, then your life is over.
Sounds like a good idea while you're doing it. Yeah. Right? That's a good idea. Yeah, exactly. Sounds like a good idea when you're doing it, until you drop the bar on yourself.
Yeah.
Have then kids.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I'd rather take the bar at this point.
Right. So basically, what I like to do is either do negative reps or half reps. Or you can even do like a rest pause or drop set. Like, all those techniques are basically a workaround to maintain intensity and continue that workout or that lift while without like having to, you know, switch exercises.
Okay.
So for example, like if you're doing a pull down, right? You know, and it's like, oh, I'm going for 10 and you get stuck at 8 and you're like, oh, I need to get a couple more reps. Then you could do like a couple half reps, or you can drop 2 plates and then keep repping. Yeah. So that's a common workaround.
Okay. And then I'm going to give at least the less helpful version of this advice, because his is the correct one. But in addition to it, sometimes it comes down to nut up or shut up.
Now, it's important you're saying this.
Because if you mentally quit on yourself, Wes, then,
call me out.
Then you're just not going to get it. If you have a number in your head that that's what you're going to do, or a weight you're going to do, your brain will let you down. Mm-hmm. So some people are freaks. I'm not one of those people. Some people literally, if they just walk in there and they say, like, I'm going to damage myself today, and they will do it. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, your body wants to do the least amount of work possible. It takes the path of least resistance in all situations if it can. So mentally, you're predisposed to saying, yeah, that was just enough. That's fine. I did what I needed to do. I've hit the bare minimum. You kind of need to get past that lizard brain lazy, and kind of almost create this weird like fight or fight response situation where it's like, no, we are not done yet. This is a situation. We're pushing past it. And the more times you do that, the better you're going to get at it.
Right.
You need to be careful, though, because some of our freaks out there are going to injure themselves. Because you kind of have to find the sweet spot where it's saying, hey, shut up, brain. This is, we're going full smooth brain right now. This is not a big brain activity, and we're going to get real dumb. But you don't want to push it to the point where you're doing things that you can't do. So you need to be directed and calculated, and if you can plan ahead, even better. Have that set so that you don't screw it up when you get there and go full bro science and rip a freaking tendon.
But that's not the majority of people, right? Majority of people aren't, they're not in the situation where they're lifting so heavy that they're going to risk injuring themselves like that. It's like most of the time it's like there, it's the other situation where they're quitting too early.
Be a lot cooler if you did.
Right. And I would say it's like an intermediate technique. It's not an advanced technique, because like if you're super advanced, then you kind of need that spotter to be like, all right, bro, you're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
But if you're a beginner, then it's like you don't really know how to push yourself to that point yet.
Yeah. Just get after it. Just get uncomfortable.
Right.
And that's how you, that's a good way to get more reps, because, man, it is easy to quit. It is the easiest thing in the world to quit. So you have to pick to do the hard thing.
So how do you model, like, say you're going to do a set of, like, bench press, and you're like, you know, what do you say to yourself in your head? Like, you don't say, I'm going to do 10 reps. What do you think instead?
Bench press is a bad one, because I have some, like you talked about earlier, you kind of need to, I like to think
different. What lift would you say?
I'm being difficult.
Pick a lift.
We'll say squat.
Okay.
I feel like squatting is a really good one, because the thing, at the end of the day, you can always dump it, which is embarrassing. But it's almost like you have your numbers that you're trying to hit. But when you get to like a, when you get to a point where you're trying to like do, go to failure or do a drop set or something crazy like that, I don't count. mm-hmm. I literally will just stop counting. And it's, you just kind of like, and I go away in a way. It's like I'm in a different place.
Okay.
So it's almost like you just let it go for as long as it goes. And if you have a buddy, it's even better because they can count for you and let you know what happened. But right. I'm a million miles away during those types of situations because that's the easiest way for me to like disconnect from the number and just let my body decide like when it's too much.
I see. So you like have your rep range and you're like, I need to get at least 10 and then I'm just going to keep going.
Exactly. And it's better to have a buddy because if you tell them, hey, I'm trying to get in this region and then you just say, I'm kind of checking out. So just kind of like push me into the rack when I've kind of gotten there.
Right.
Which that's honestly some higher level shit. That's like when you're...
You have to have a good spotter to do that.
Yeah, you have to have a good spotter. And also like when you're doing stuff like that, that's when you're kind of getting a little crazy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just... I'm not someone who gets all like amped up or like has like a specific thing I say. I'm like, my superpower is the complete disregard for the thoughts.
Okay.
What about you?
Well, I recently adopted this training mentality since we've been working together, actually.
You're welcome.
and it's like, you know, I've heard you say it. My coach has mentioned it in another way. It's like, you can't set the expectation on a failure set that I'm going to get 10 reps because you'll stop at 10. And then that it's not a true failure set. It's like he says when he's getting his reps is he thinks I'm in the jungle and I got to get out. You know, I'm trapped in the jungle.
That's
and
how I
gotta
I am find actually with running, with sprints.
Yeah.
I just started thinking things are chasing me.
Yeah. So it's like you almost have to go to a dark place in your mind and be ready to be, just like you said, be uncomfortable and try and push past a point where you've thought that you can go.
Do you ever watch Mad TV?
I have seen some episodes.
Do you remember Stuart?
Yes.
I'm going to my dark place. Stop. Go to your dark place.
Yes. This is your time, like, to be uncivilized.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. This is like...
Be a savage.
Don't be the guy who screams, because that's annoying.
Yeah.
But if you want to go to the sunken place and be, like, an unhappy person and just get it done and be brutal, that's the best way that you're going to find those upper thresholds of your reps.
When I'm doing it, sometimes I think of it like this. I'll be like, once I get to a point where I'm like, okay, this is really hurting and I want to stop, I say to myself, all right, you're halfway done.
Yep.
You know, so like I'm at 7 or 8 reps and I'm like, wow, this is starting to really suck. I should probably stop. Or not stop, but like I want to stop. Mm-hmm. Then I'm like, okay, well, I got to get 7 more now.
Yep. The big question is always, are you hurt or are you injured?
Right.
And you have to ask yourself that. It's a hard question to ask, and it's going to take a long time for you to realize it. I think it was, I want to say it was Muhammad Ali would do workouts, and he wouldn't start counting until it hurt. Like, he'd be doing push-ups, and once he started being like, oh, shit, it's getting difficult, that's when he would start counting.
Right.
Because that's those are the ones that actually matter.
Yeah, that's pushing past where you've been before right there.
Boom.
Hell yeah.
All right.
That was a good coverage of that, I think.
I do like that one. That was a good question. All right, next one. Why can people who take performance-enhancing drugs do more reps? We'll say reps, weight, whatever you do. Do you have like
just a, work capacity in general, right?
Yeah, we'll go and this is definitely more your wheelhouse than mine.
So what usually happens is when you're taking performance-enhancing substances, whether that's SARMs, pro-hormones, or just straight-up like actual steroids, your body has more of the like muscle contracting substrates in the muscle fibers themselves. So it's like you have more carbs stored in your muscle. That's why all those guys on steroids look puffy in like 3D, you know, because their muscles are actually full of more carbs and sugars. And you're able to like get more out of it that way because you have more to push with. Nope. And not only that, but it also allows you to recover from that set quicker.
So essentially, you're allowing your muscles to have like larger gas tanks.
Yes, you're adding more gas, basically. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I like that.
Yeah, and I can't stress enough, you know, you'll live your life the way you want to live it, but performance-enhancing drugs are for people who are competing at top levels. So I say it's going to give your muscles bigger gas tanks. It's only going to give a bigger gas tank to a person who knows how to use it. So it's like hopping in a race car. If you don't have your driver's license, you're just going to crash it into the sidewall. Yeah. So if for especially beginners and intermediate and actually most advanced, if not all people, because I'm, you know, I'm natty mostly because the army makes me. I just believe you know, being natty is obviously good for long-term health and lifestyle people. You should always just remain natty. The idea sometimes is tempting for especially younger people. It's not going to solve your problems, and it's not going to make you suddenly be able to do more reps or suddenly move more weight. It just gives people the capacity to take on that already, like, you know,
do more work.
Athlete mentality. Like, they're an absolute killer. Their body is now not able to, their brain is stronger than their body at this point. So now they're expanding their body's ability to catch up with their freaking like psycho brain.
Yeah. And it's like, they still have to do the work and they still have to do the more of those reps and be more uncomfortable, but they can, you know, now. So that's why they're able to make more gains.
And if you're someone who just decides to take steroids and you're not someone who works that hard, all you're going to do is become a fat, pimply asshole.
Right.
That's it. Like, it's not going to, everyone's seen that one guy at the gym who's like weirdly overly hairy, always looks like he has a sunburn, has a lot of acne, and he's just angry all the time. And like, he kind of looks buff, but he also looks, he's like moments from a heart attack.
He's always breathing hard and sweating.
Yeah, that's the guy who should not be taking steroids. Arguably no one should, but in particular, if someone who is not, is who's not like prepared for them. So I just want to put a huge, huge caveat on that, because I feel like when someone asks that question, it's almost like they're saying like, so why is it that performance enhancing drugs make you better? It's like, well, this is why, then this is why you don't need it.
Right. I like that. Yeah, that's pretty solid, especially with like all this stuff that you can even buy like legally.
Dude, yeah.
You know, it's like a lot of people try these things and they think that it's going to do the work for them. And I think that they're just putting themselves at risk unnecessarily.
Yeah. As we learn time and time and time again, there is no cheat to hard work. You just have to do it. You have
to keep working hard.
You have to keep working out. Even, yeah, they have those like injections now and those look god awful.
Yep.
We have one more question.
Last listener question. Thank you guys, by the way.
Thank you. How do you eat more meals in a day?
Yes. So this is a common question because like a lot of times, you know, people who are doing either, you know, carb cycling or like macro diets, they want to eat more frequently. You know, that instead of eating like two or three meals a day, they're trying to eat like five or six meals a day. And that's kind of hard to do, especially with like a hectic schedule, life, and, you know, even just fitting the food in your stomach. Those are all like issues that people run into. So, I mean, what we were talking about this earlier, we kind of agreed that planning is the number one concern, right?
I feel like that's the only thing, especially when you're talking about not being hungry or with your work schedule.
Yeah.
You just have to get ahead of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't, I don't know, you learn this at work, you learn this in the army, you learn this in real life. Like, proper planning will always win out. So if you say, these are my meals, I'm going to eat it this time, this time, this time, this time, and these, how it's going to fit my macros, you almost can't fail unless you look at it and just decide not to eat it.
Or decide not to plan ahead.
Exactly. Yeah. If you don't plan, then of course you're going to have hiccups.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty crazy that it's like, if you like decide which meals you're going to eat when, and then actually cook them, then you already did half the battle right there.
And it's sometimes boring and it's sometimes frustrating. And it's a lot of work on like Sundays or on evenings when you would prefer to not be meal prepping. Or you want to go eat out with your friends, and it's just like, there's the, if it fits your macros, sounds super easy until you realize that if you're trying to get on the nose, you have to have had, you know, something planned ahead of time. You're going to say like no to plans sometimes.
Right.
Like, oh, hey, do you want to come to the bar with us? Like, shit, I got to get a meal in and I'm not going to be able to do it there. I have it at home because I always have a meal this time at home. Sorry, guys, I got to go. And you're definitely going to lie because no one says, I'm not coming to the bar. I have to go eat a meal.
They're like, I got this important business meeting.
Exactly. Or even when someone says like, yeah, we're going to lunch today. And you just know for a fact, it's like, you know, we're going to Chili's and you have your meal in your fridge at work. And she's like, yeah, I'm just not going to make it. I brought food from home.
Right.
Because that's your plan. I think we can agree that the plan is the best way to do it. And also consistency, because man, if you can't eat or you're someone who doesn't get hungry a lot, it's a labor of love. You're just going to have to work at it.
Right. It's not going to, you're not going to go from 2 meals a day to 6 meals in a day in a week. It's like, you're going to have to slowly ease into like increasing. Oh, well, instead of not eating breakfast, how about I'll have a shake? You know, that's an easy thing that you can get down, even if you're not feeling super hungry. And another technique that I found that was really good is not eating high or moderate fat content in your meals until later in the day. Like if you're going in first thing in breakfast and you're having bacon and sausage and, you know, a bunch of eggs cooked in butter,
so and all this stuff, the breakfast food,
all the good breakfast foods. Yes. And then you're going to be full for like 5 hours after that. And it's like, how are you supposed to get multiple meals in if every meal has a bunch of fat and then you're just full all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm eating these 6 meals a day right now because meal 1 through 4 has almost no fat in it until meal 5 and 6. And then at that point, it's already later in the day. I've worked out. I need that meal. And then I can kind of fit it in.
And to the other side of it, for our big people, as someone who represents the large clan, not in height, but in girth, everyone's less sympathetic for you, myself included, because at the end of the day, you just have to get comfortable with being hungry, mm-hmm. or you have to be, and your planning is even more critical because it's an addiction thing. So skinny people it's hard, but they're almost lucky because it's like, you just have to force yourself to eat more. Mm-hmm. You are an addict learning to eat less food. So you're at any given moment, you're setting yourself up for a potential relapse.
Right.
So it's like, cause the thing is, if you're low carb, if you eat something carb filled that lunch,
right,
dinner time is going to come around and you are not going to be satisfied with anything you've set up for yourself, mm-hmm. and you're going to want those carbs.
Oh yeah.
So the best thing you can do for yourself is say, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do it. And you just got to stick to it. And it's hard and it might take multiple tries. It's a fitness journey. It's not a sudden solution. So you're going to have setbacks. I have setbacks. Wes has setbacks. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, you got to learn to, you know, roll with the punches.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree with that. And it's like you have to kind of pick the style of eating that you – it's like you pick a plan and then stick to it. You know, it doesn't – people, I feel like, rotate their plans too much. They're like, well, I'm going to do keto for 2 weeks and then I'm going to try – carb cycling for 2 weeks, and they're not realizing that they didn't go to keto in the first place because
you didn't give it enough time to settle in.
Yeah. And if they just stuck with one of those two things for an extended period of time, they would see results. Just simple as that.
Right away, almost.
Right.
It's surprising how quickly you can see results if you just stay consistent. And we cheat way more than we allow ourselves. The mental gymnastics that people mm-hmm. can do, or myself included, be like, I'm doing pretty good. It's like, if you look across your entire week, you screwed up actually 4 times. Mm-hmm. That's the whole week.
Yeah, that's most of the week right there.
So, yeah. Okay, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm rolling all right. Let's touch on a couple topics. I want to just thank you guys for the questions. Mm-hmm. Please send more. We love hearing from you guys. This is something that we're passionate about, and we want to be as helpful as possible. Wes is a free resource. Mm-hmm. Typically, he costs money. This is he a whore? Maybe, by definition.
By definition, I am. I'm a fitness whore.
And so, but this is an opportunity to get someone who has a wealth of knowledge to answer questions, and then someone who's yelling from a bar stool, that's me. So let's play off of this last question a little bit, because I like this last one.
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about bulking and we're talking about planning your meals, how do you do a bulk? Like, how do you get those meals in there? That we talked about how you space it out and plan it, but like, what does that actually look like?
Yeah. So there's the clean version, which is kind of what I talked about, where
this isn't real. That's fake.
Total fake news. Clean bulks don't exist. But I mean, like, if you're someone who is sensitive to higher calories and higher carbs, you kind of have to do a clean bulk or else you get fat, which is what happens the last 2 times that I tried to bulk. Is I tried to do what I will describe as an all-out bulk after this. But what you should be doing is eating those 4 low-fat, high-carbon protein meals first and then transitioning to moderate to low-carb, high-fat meals for the end of the day. And what that does is it allows you to get multiple meals in initially and then not do a bunch of snacking and feel hungry before you go to bed. because then you have the fat to slow down your digestion and to sit in your stomach while you're at home watching TV and you don't grab the bowl of ice cream.
There you go.
Yes.
So you said you're about to, is there a difference between a regular bulk and an all-out bulk?
That's how you do a clean bulk. An all-out bulk is like, say, everyone knows the skinny guy who can never put on weight. They're like, I eat so much and I never gain weight.
Yeah.
Like everyone's seen that guy, and I hate you, by the way.
I'm jealous.
Yes. Because
I mean, maybe I wouldn't be jealous if I was in your situation, but since I lack perspective, I'm screw you, man.
Yeah. I wish I had the problem. Could eat everything and not gain weight.
I choose to be ignorant.
Yes. But basically what they can do, easy ways to add calories and all that bulk, is make sure that you have your set protein intake per meal first. So it's like if you're eating, you know, 5 or 6 meals a day, make sure you have the, you know, 5 to 6 ounces of protein, you know, already like decided on. So it's like, I'm going to have chicken on these meals, I'm going to have tuna on this meal, and then I'm going to finish off with steak or whatever you're going to do. Then from there, around before and after your workout, you want to have a high amount of carbs. That can be like carbolin powder. That could be like gummy bears. That could be like cereal. That's a really popular one, is like Rice Krispies, right? This, not the treats, the cereal.
I don't even want to talk about this because I haven't had cereal in so long, just because it's like completely worthless. It's worthless to my diet.
Yeah.
Man, I love cereal.
Oh, it's so good. And it's super, like, anyone can crush a giant bowl of cereal.
Yeah.
Because it's super easy to eat and super easy to digest.
I can eat Captain Crunch until my mouth bleeds.
Right.
So yeah. Good.
You can crush like 2 serving bowls worth of cereal. No problem.
It's 2 salad bowls.
Right. Yeah, so add a bowl of that before your workout and a bowl of that after your workout. And that's a ton of carbs. That's at least like 150 grams of carbs right there.
There you go.
Yeah, plus since it's rice-based, it's easily digestible. Rice Krispies. Boom.
Okay, cool.
Then what I would do is start adding peanut butter to every meal. Like a scoop or 2 of peanut butter.
Peanut butter on your chicken, peanut butter on your steak.
Or just like take a scoop out of the jar and just slam that shit.
Oh my God, I do that sometimes.
Yeah. Like that's gonna, if you do that for like 4 meals a day, you're adding probably a good 800 calories.
But did you know that 1 serving of peanut butter is more worth more protein than all the eggs on Earth?
Oh, thank you, Game Changers documentary.
Well, okay. So we have the bulk, and actually, yeah. I'm gonna actually cut that a little short because I feel like this is worth more of a whole conversation.
Yeah.
So that was first hitting your people. How about how to do a proper cheat meal? So we're talking about the lean bulks, talking about losing weight. When you talk about meals per day, like what does a proper cheat meal look like that's not going to completely ruin your life?
Yes. So, I mean, say like you're dieting and you're going to do a high calorie refeed, or you're like, you know, I'm trying to do a clean bulk, but I deserve a pizza because I've been, you know, good on my diet and trying to make some gains.
You don't deserve it.
Take your shirt off.
Look at yourself in the mirror. What was that video? What was that?
Oh my God. I love that video. Evan Sentapanti, and he's like this Universal Nutrition sponsored athlete. And he did like this motivational video, and he's like, you don't deserve a cheat meal. Take your shirt off. You look like shit. It's so hilarious.
Super toxic, but goddamn it, it's funny.
It was pretty cold. I thought it was great. But basically what a cheat meal should include is it should be either protein-based with like, you know, your carbs and fat after that or with that, or you should have like a clean protein source and then like your pizza.
Yeah.
So that looks like a burger and fries, or like have your chicken and like, then eat like a pizza.
Wings. There's like lots of stuff that's wings. Bad for you that's like, well, it's not like, it's sort of bad for you, but it's not that like chicken wings.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Burgers, but like do double patty and go light on your carbs the rest of the day. Maybe get like sweet potato tots instead of like the French fries. Cauliflower pizza smells like feet, and it should, anyone who eats it, I'm sorry, you shouldn't do that. Why do you hate yourself?
Yeah.
It's so bad. I got one recently. I had a really bad time.
Very disappointing.
Have you had it before?
We tried to make one and it was a disappointment.
I opened my my oven and just blasted me in the face with like this just reek of feet, and I was just like, ugh. And it was just not good overall. What's another good example?
Not worth it.
I'm trying to think. I mean, even like going and getting like a steak, sometimes for me, that's like a great meal. So that could be a cheat meal. Mm-hmm. You can even get down with like pasta. If you can see going down to the Olive Garden, you want to treat your girl, mm-hmm. you know, get a little bit fancy.
Yeah. Some unlimited breadsticks.
Nope. you almost got me.
Almost crossed the line.
You almost got me. I think each one of those is worth like a Snickers bar, but you get like, chicken Alfredo and you ask them, like double or triple the chicken on it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
you're going to come out of pocket for it, obviously.
That's why you're at Olive Garden.
But you're at the Olive Garden. You're trying to take care of your lady.
Yeah.
let her have the breadsticks.
Yep.
But that's it. You can do these cheat meals and just like pound down the protein with them to where at least if you're going to be eating like shit, mm-hmm. at least you're hitting your protein goals.
You're going to do something with those calories.
Exactly. Because that's the most cheat days for people. It's just so carb heavy that your body's already starting to get with the program that protein is its priority. Mm-hmm. So if you keep giving it protein, it's going to use it. It's obviously going to use the carbs too, but at least you're kind of doing a little column A, a little column B.
Yeah, like some of the worst things you could do is just eat a bag of chips or like have a bunch of donuts. It's like, yeah, you're having your cheat meal, but it's like you need at least some usable mm-hmm. calories in there as well.
And your body will just suck those right up and like, I'm going to stow these for later.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what your body's made for. It's like, I want to keep you alive forever. I hope we never, ever die. I'm going to put these inside your arteries. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Which is counterintuitive, body. Thanks for turning me over.
Right.
All right. 1 second. We got one last topic on here. And I think this has been going smooth, but we'll keep it to a short one.
Yep.
Alcohol and gains with yes. a Z.
Yeah. So this is a...
Can you do it?
Can you do it? This is a controversial topic for sure, because it's like there's always those people who can skate the line and be like, oh, I just drink tequila or I just drink Tito's.
Yeah, just drink clear.
Yeah. And like some people can get away with some of that, you know, and still make progress, but know that if you're drinking multiple nights a week or if you're drinking to the point where you're getting hungover, then you are impacting your natural hormones and your recovery.
It's almost an age thing. Like my unpopular opinion is that like once you get past, like, I'm not going to say what the age is because it's different for everybody, mm-hmm. but you're going to hit an age where this is not going to fucking work anymore.
Right.
So when I was in college, I used to be like, I would scoff. Like, I was at the leanest I ever was, and I was getting drunk in the middle of the day, like, all the time. I was drinking, like, every night, and I was like, you can drink and be fit. That's bullshit. No! I cannot do that anymore.
Right.
It is just not realistic. And you just need to accept at some point that your partying career might have to take a back seat, because most people you know who drink a lot, who are over the age of 30, are kind of fat.
Yeah.
So it's just you, like, I personally think that if you really care about fitness and really care about looking good, you might just want to stop drinking.
Or like limit it to like one night a week.
Exactly. You know? It's like, it should not be, especially if you're the type of person who's like, yeah, I just like to have a beer with dinner every night. Not anymore. You don't. No, you don't.
Yeah.
You need to stop. Or if you're going to do like a Michelob Ultra, because you know, all the guys who are like, I'm a beer dinner kind of guy, they're always like an IPA.
The like most calorically dense beer you can get. Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to drink a loaf of bread with dinner. It's alcohol is no longer your priority if being shredded is your priority. Like right. they are mutually exclusive if you're over a certain age, or maybe you freaking are lucky and you're like 35 and have like a killer metabolism and you're mm-hmm. one of those guys like, I'm almost 40 and I still have to eat like 8,000 calories a day to gain weight. It's like, all right, cool, bro.
Yeah, but even those guys, they're blunting their recovery mm-hmm. and they're blunting their protein synthesis, because two things happen. One, your body has to prioritize the alcohol metabolism over the protein metabolism,
yep.
which causes you to store the extra calories as fat or just not use them to rebuild your muscles. What it does is it also decreases the latex cell activity in your testosterone, in your testicles, which causes your natural testosterone regulation.
So you're telling me that if I get drunk too much, I'm going to have less testosterone?
If you get to the point where you're being hungover then the next day, then you have lowered your testosterone.
Oh my God.
Yes.
that's actually a really good selling point for why you shouldn't drink.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. That's actually new information for me.
Mm-hmm. Plus, you didn't sleep good and you didn't recover from your workout.
Okay. So, closing statements.
Smoke weed.
If you want gains.
There's no calories in weed.
go get yourself a medical marijuana card. I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to own guns if you have a medical marijuana card.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe you don't want to get the card.
Right. And all right, cocaine is also a pre-workout. I'm just kidding.
For a few minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, but guys, once you do this, leave us a comment and tell us what your favorite cheat meal is. I want to know.
That was a very good influencer ending.
Yes.
I like that. Mm-hmm. It's a call to action.
That's my call to action.
What is your favorite cheat meal? What is your favorite cheat meal?
If it's not In-N-Out, you know.
In-N-Out's such a good cheat meal, though, because it's not that bad for you.
Right. I feel not as bad about myself when I have In-N-Out as a cheat meal. If it's not In-N-Out, then it's like I'm going to have my chicken and then eat a pizza. That's my two go-tos.
It's like I'm going to eat a whole-ass pizza. Or I'm going to have, like a double-double. Damn, those are two kind of extremes.
Yeah.
I think In-N-Out's definitely an excellent cheat meal for me. And, man, I guess I'm kind of all over the place. It just depends. I have, random cravings. I'm not a sweets guy, but every once in a while, I'm just like, I need it.
Right.
So yeah, In-N-Out's a great one, though.
What about, another one that I like is I'll get three shredded beef tacos with rice and beans from a good Mexican place.
I know that that's one of your favorites.
We've done that.
We've done that multiple times before shows. Oh, you know what? Yeah, actually, Olive Garden. Mm-hmm. I get cravings for Olive Garden.
Do you have one right now? Yeah, no, you've been on this.
No,
Olive
I know
Garden.
I haven't. Right now. I actually feel like garbage. I ate pizza last night because I'm a piece of shit, and I feel like shit now today. Ooh. And Olive Garden is one of before PT test.
Mm-hmm.
I always get Olive Garden.
Ooh, I love it.
And it's just it's so calorie dense, and it's just everyone's like, that's not real Italian food. It's like, I didn't ask for real Italian food. I asked for Olive. It's like when people are Taco Bell isn't real Mexican food, and I just freaking whip out my Crunchwrap Supreme, and I'm like, shut your mouth.
It's like, I fucking know that.
I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm about, boy.
Yeah. I didn't say we're going to Manuel's. I said we're going to fucking Taco Bell.
I'm about my business.
Yes.
All right. Let's sign off on this one. This didn't even end up being a very short one. We're at 40 minutes.
That's a pretty average podcast right
now. Yeah, exactly. Okay, apparently it just worked out. I'm exhausted. Yeah. Oh, my God, I'm so tired.
It's time to eat and go to bed.
Yeah, I'm about to go to Sprouts. I was I could just order something. I was like, no. Actually, damn, I gotta go to Sprouts.
Pick up one of those one-pan meals and just take it home. Cook that shit.
Yeah, I also want a naked juice.
Ooh, and those are pretty good.
I'm spoiling myself.
You deserve it.
I ate the pizza. I don't deserve anything crazy, but I think I've earned that naked juice. I woke up at 4 a.m. this morning. Yeah. All right, well, you heard it here first.
Yep.
Thank you for the questions again. We'd love to have more on Instagram. You can find us at BNS_radio. Leave a comment, subscribe, follow us, tell your friends, tell your mom, tell your dad. The more listeners we get, the better we can make this show.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.